If you ever happen to drop by my office, you may notice that on the wall right next to my office door, there is a photo, and it's one of my favorites. It's a picture of Archbishop Desmond Tutu having his picture taken with me. That's how I think of it anyway. And the photo was taken a few years ago when I had the opportunity to hear Archbishop Tutu speak at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. The Archbishop had just finished his work with the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commissions, and he had just published a book about his experiences. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission was established to bring some healing and closure to South Africa after years of apartheid and unspeakable violence. Once that system was legally abolished, the country needed to move forward again, and they knew that they needed some way of dealing with the violence of their past. And so the commission's function was very simple. Anyone on either side who had committed crimes under the apartheid system could receive amnesty if they were willing to come forward to meet with their victims or their victims' families, tell the truth about their crimes, and ask for forgiveness. The Archbishop told stories of victims of rape and torture meeting with their perpetrators, of the families of disappeared children meeting with the soldiers who had ended their kids' lives. By telling the truth and asking for and receiving forgiveness, even these people could be reconciled. Needless to say, the journalists gathered at the National Press Club had a lot of questions about whether or not this was real and how these people could forgive. Archbishop Tutu explained that after years of violence, fear, and civil war, everyone realized that they faced a simple choice. They could choose to forgive, or they could continue the violence until there wasn't anyone left alive. And so they chose to forgive. Most of us, thank God, we'll never have to consider that sort of radical forgiveness. Most of us have never known such horror or have had to muster such forgiveness. Our hurts tend to be of a more mundane sort, a trust violated, a secret told, an argument that got out of hand, an unkind remark. And the problem with these lesser violations is that because they're not all-consuming, they're easier for us to carry around unreconciled. The prophet Sirach writes that wrath and anger are hateful things, and the sinner holds them tight. We are, sadly, living in a culture where we not only hold our wrath and anger tight, we display them proudly on social media, in our conversations, and on our protest signs. We tend to revel in our own victimhood and demonize people who hold other points of view because that legitimizes our anger and rage. Whatever vindicates my feelings of anger seem to give me permission to attack, oppress, or punish someone else. When it's not controlled by a moral conscience, anger allows us to move from victim to judge, jury, and executioner. I think in some ways we're conditioned by our justice system to think in terms of blame and compensation and vindication. That's why we have a justice system and not a mercy system. The people of South Africa realized that justice was ultimately out of their reach, and what they needed was a mercy system. In today's gospel, Peter is looking for a legal answer to the question of forgiveness. How many times? What's the limit? In our legal system, you don't ever have to forgive anyone. But Peter asks Jesus if 7 times is enough. And the answer that he receives makes it clear that Peter isn't even framing the question properly. 77 times, or as we have it in the other Gospels, 70 times 7 times. So what's that, 490 times? No, that means you have to forgive every time. And do it because that's how God forgives us. The parable that follows this teaching makes that very clear. We forgive because God has forgiven us. You can be sure that any time that you are asking the Lord what's the minimum you need to do, that you are asking the wrong question. Someone recently asked me how he could forgive his parents for years of hell that he experienced growing up in an abusive, alcoholic family. And he was still filled with rage and grief. And I told him that I think the only way to do it was to do it. Forgiveness is an act of will. It's not something that magically happens because your feelings of rage have changed to feelings of warm, fuzzy affection. Forgiveness is a decision that we make. And we have to decide to forgive, and that decision is why we feel different afterwards. God has forgiven us so much. How could we not forgive each other? Whatever it is that you're carrying around, whatever hurt or grief or resentment or anger, consider this gospel. Remember how much and how often God has forgiven you, and show that same mercy in your own life. This is the only way to fix our broken political climate, to heal our narcissistic culture, and to find our way back to each other. Not just 7 times, not just 77 times, and not even 70 times 7 times, but all the time.